Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Boundaries of Reality with their host, Abel Garcia.
Gentlemen and boys and girls, welcome to Boundaries of Reality with me, your host, Dave Garcia. Unfortunately, I do not know where Carla is tonight, so I'm hoping that she's, wherever she is, she's having fun and it's not anything bad. But I will be joined tonight by Justin Villarreal, LCGH. That'll be great. I'm going to be here. Hopefully we'll hear from her. Because she covers us strange news, and we definitely always need some sort of weird and strange news on the show. Just got done watching the fights. I was very disappointed. It was so quick, and they only had one fight. So that was very disappointing. I don't know if anyone watches UFC but me, but yeah. I don't see Carla in the room yet. I will actually go ahead and do some strange news for you guys. Let's see here. What kind of strange news can we find? How about this one for Justice? Let's see here. Here's a Justice one. Elise Powell, a senior citizen of Edmonton, Alberta, filed a $100,000 lawsuit in September against Kraft in Canada, parent company of the makers of Stride Gum, which brags that it is ridiculous long-lasting. Powell complained that she had to scrub down her dentures after using Stride to dig out specks of gum, a condition that caused her to experience depression for approximately 10 minutes. Paula O'Neill filed a lawsuit recently against United Continental Airlines over the post-traumatic stress disorder. She said that she suffered it since a 20-minute flight in October 2009, in which during turbulent weather that caused the plane to bank from side to side. Let's see here. Next, evidence on smoking. It's bad for you at 44. A 44-year-old woman was hospitalized with a head injury and broken clavicle in September after she inadvertently walked into a still-moving train at Needham Center Station near Boston. Her attention had been diverted because she was trying to light her cigarette as she walked. How's that for strange? Strange lawsuits. Looks like... Hey, caller, we have you on the line.
Evening, Mr. Abel Garcia.
Hey, how are you doing, Justin?
Doing all right. Just had some dinner, so my stomach is nice and full right now.
I actually know that.
had a really good Italian beef.
Yeah, we usually do a strange news segment, which is covered by Carla, but unfortunately, I don't know where she is. Oh, it looks like Athena just updated us, and let's send positive energies towards Carla's sister, who she's taking care of right now.
Oh, okay.
Send positive energies that way, and thank you, Athena, for letting us know. I actually sent her a text, making sure she was okay. So, how about this one? A new and weird classic. It's from April 1993. Or excuse me, 92. In 92, an issue of Journal Sexual Marital Therapy, two therapists at the Institute of Psychiatry in London described orgasmic reconditioning they performed on their patient, George, age 20. They reported partial success in getting George to switch his self-pleasure stimuli from the family car, Austin Metro, to photographs of nude women. George had reported arousal previously only when sitting in his car or when squatting behind it while the engine was running. Before that, George was sexually preoccupied with a urinating woman. How's that? That's definitely weird. I've actually heard of that disorder where people are actually turned on by inanimate objects, and some of my reading actually in that therapy, I'm running into a lot of that.
It seems to be kinks for everyone nowadays. Everyone's turned on by something, huh? Cars or paper dolls. Someone's got a nice little switch for something nowadays.
Oh, they definitely do.
You think that something is growing more, or just something that's always been?
I think the psychological condition has always been, but people have just been in that denial phase.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it in my reading, it's not as easy. Like the dry reading of Criminal Justice, it's actually more in depth, and you know, a lot of people just lock away those emotions and won't talk about them because of that. I mean, to some people that's embarrassing. So I think it's definitely locked away emotions, and I'm not going to mention that.
Yeah. A lot of it's something tied to our past somehow.
Do we have any more weird news? Anything interesting? I'm not finding anything like that super interesting, personally.
Well, if you think about it, kind of like your topic here, you know, there's only so much, as in science, especially with the paranormal, there's only so much you can actually talk about. You know, there's only so much we have found. You know, necessarily. Other than that, a lot of the news that we hear and we see, even the TV shows, kind of just regurgitate what we have been watching or reading for the past 100 years or so. So, you know, it's don't worry about it, Abel.
Here's one take from the Huffington Post. I don't know if anyone heard about it, but two women were arrested for the, a satanic sex stabbing. I don't know if anyone heard about that. I heard about it recently.
Yes, that was happened right up here up north by me, in Wisconsin, actually.
Yep.
Maybe it's because it's Wisconsin. I don't know. Maybe the border up there, more border. More board up there or something. You know. Did you see the mugshot of the woman that did this?
Yes, actually, I'm looking at them right now.
Oh, my God. the eyes on her. If I would have opened the door and said, oh, my God, is that who I'm meeting? Yeah, you've been known in trouble. That mugshot is just priceless. It's just priceless.
Oh, definitely. So, but other than that, that concludes our strange but weird news segment. And unfortunately, I was ill-prepared for this segment, because of the fight, unfortunately, sidetracked me. Yeah, everyone knows that I get stuck in the UFC fights really easily, so that sidetracked me. But it was a quick fight, and I thought it'd last a little longer than first round. maybe not even a minute into the fight. So, but other than that, I have Justin, who's going to be joining me tonight. Justin, if you could just introduce yourself to everyone.
Yes, my name is Justin Villarreal, and I am the founder of the LCGH Research Group located here in Northern Illinois. I founded the group back in 2002 on a little social networking site known as Yahoo Groups. There was many incarnations of the group before I settled with, actually it was called the Lake County Ghost Hunters, but I ended up switching it over to the LCGH Research Group basically because we kind of cover a lot of things now. We went from ghost hunters, or at least I personally went from ghost hunting to more research-based understanding of the paranormal. So that's where I kind of stand with that as well, with the group, is research is very important. So that's me.
When I first started my first show, it was actually turned off the television, The Real Ghost Hunters Are Here. And I don't know if anyone noticed when I posted it today, you know, this is not fantasy or entertainment, it's turned off the TV. The Real Paranormal Researchers Are Here. And that's because I decided to get away from that 99% and get into the 1%, you know, like the Matrix. I took that blue pill, or was it blue or red? I think it was the blue pill. And decided to...
Well, you're right there, actually. It is a very small group of people who, I guess, take it seriously would be... the only way I can explain it is there's a seriousness to what, you know, what we do, especially if we have a different perspective on a paranormal compared to the majority. It is something that's taken seriously when you look at just how everything else is practiced, as well as what we're seeing on TV. Anyone who's into science knows that, or not even anyone who has logical way of thinking can watch a couple episodes of any of the paranormal programs and realize that they're not really conducting anything truly scientific at all. So it's a very small group of us, and I'm glad that you and I are both somewhat in the same boat on this.
Yeah, and I actually mentioned that, the 1%. And even Jason Sullivan, one of our good friends, he mentions that 1%. And I'm thinking of starting a T-shirt that just says 1% and make it really strict. You know, Jason Sullivan has to approve because, you know, there's not a lot of us, but there's many of us real paranormal researchers out there who, you know, don't have those hidden intentions, you know.
Exactly.
A lot of people have hidden intentions and they astray from what they originally said they're in the field for. And, you know, then they start to take on the pseudo, you know, popularity or fame, you know, because of that. And it's unfortunate, but it's one of those you're going to watch them crash and burn. But
exactly.
What I thought we'd cover on tonight, because it's one of the most important things, and it's that truth or fact is actually viewed as negative in this field. And I actually thought, you know, my thought process on that is, why is it viewed as being so bad in this field, you know, at this point? Well, that's what we want. We want that truth and fact. And, you know, the first actually thought is, you know, how come the field is backwards about positivity, you know, positivity and negativity? You know, why does a person like me who's willing not, you know, not to lie, willing just to say how things are, is looked at as a negative person? Although, yes, I'm blunt sometimes, and I know I need to be tactful, but I'm not going to be tactful and dance around, you know, the poisonous, you know, tree. I'm going to actually just go in there, cut that thing down, and get it over with, because it quickly ends things. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with you that it seems that more of the negative, or I shouldn't say that, more of the fact-based stuff gets negativity. And mostly, I guess, it's due just because we have grown with the fairy tale-like aspects of the paranormal. I mean, if people never got out there to actually go and check for these things themselves, and I shouldn't even say that, because people who do get out there and do these things for themselves still come up with these fantastical ideas. But we've kind of been taught this. I mean, just look at the past 100 years or so, we've been pretty much reading the same type of stuff that's been published for a while now, the same ghost-type stories, the woman in the white hair, and, of course, this idea that everything has an unfinished business. I'm not saying none of that is true or anything like that, but we kind of been taught these things without us even actually going ahead and looking into this ourselves. So a lot of it's based off our own will not to go and look deeper into these things. So overall, I totally agree that it seems like the negative aspects of fact-based research, or I should say being part of fact-based research and for the small minority that is involved with that, usually get a negative look on that because of our experience with, you know, fantastical ideas, with being brought up with the same regurgitated information that has been pushed throughout the years now.
You know, that's true because, you know, I've actually lived in the Hispanic household, and so you hear the stories about the kids in the walls. If you don't go to sleep early, they'll come and get you and pull you through the wall, and you're stuck in the wall with them. You know, that's how my mom used to get me to sleep. So, of course, you always heard
mm-hmm.
in the walls and thought there was, you know, these ghosts or evil spirits in the walls that are going to get you. And, you know, now that, you know, as I got older, I actually understood that they were just using it as a scare tactic to get me to go to sleep early. I mean, I've always had a really, for me, you know, sleep has been tough to actually just fall asleep. You know, my mind is constantly, you know, just going. So I have to figure out ways to shut myself down so I could actually fall asleep. And usually that's me, you know, just going through scenarios in my head and just, you know, thinking about and concentrating on one topic instead of a strain and going into many different topics because I could really multitask
yep.
in my head. And
I totally agree.
And there was actually a point where, you know, it got really bad that I used to pretend like I was sleeping so my parents wouldn't, you know, think, and that, I think that's the thing is at that point I realized, you know, that a lot of this stuff is actually brought down from, you know, urban legends or wives' tales. I think the biggest wives' tale that I was told about being out late at night was the shrieking lady where the lady would cry and the person
would cry. Oh, Yara, La Llorona. Exactly. I was told the same story.
You know,
us being more, you know, Hispanic ethnicity, I guess that's kind of given, you know, and I was born in Chicago, and that story was well prevalent there. I was actually born in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood. And, you know, that story is old. That story is very old. I think it's like the 1800s, if I'm correct. That's where that story kind of came from. And I'm glad that you were told that story because not a lot of people actually know about that, to be honest with you. When I tell people about that, you know, they really don't know about that particular urban legend at all.
Yeah. And see, my uncle was willing to be in that story, so it's kind of now I laugh, you know. So that tricky lady got you, huh? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a funny thing is when I was told that story when I was a kid, I was told multiple things. That was kind of like one of my pushes into, I guess, paranormal research was because of these urban legends and folklore and my interest in religion and so on. I've had some, you know, earlier experiences too, you know, that I would claim that are paranormal that really pushed that. But it was because of these stories. It's because of what, you know, I kind of grew into. It's more of a societal thing, you know. America itself doesn't necessarily have their own ghost stories. It's usually borrowed stuff. Like most of our stuff comes from Native American lore or German lore. And, of course, you know, Hispanic lore is most of the stuff comes from. There's really nothing that truly was brought, you know, that's sit here. So a lot of stuff comes from, you know, societies that carry this type of tradition. And, you know, it seems kind of funny, but, like, when you look at it, it seems a lot of the immigrants, you know, from the European descendants have really brought these stories over here. So a lot of this stuff is really just stuff that's been kind of pushed on us over the years and just carried on and carried on and carried on. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, when I was on that sidetrack, when I was a kid, when they told me that story, this is kind of funny, is that I believe this happened twice, but one for sure time when I was told the story by my aunt, the La Llorona story, she used to say, oh, she comes to your window looking for her, mi hijos, you know, my sons. And one time after telling me that story, I swear to God I heard scratching on my window, and I just kind of covered my ears, and I woke up with some scratch marks on my arms. I highly doubt that it was a Llorona. But it was kind of interesting that I ended up with some kind of, you know, actor effect from supposedly that story. You know, a lot of people have had that type of effect or experience as well. When experiencing something or something like that, they end up somehow with some kind of physical after effect, like a scratch or a bruising of some sort. So it was questionable, you know, what may have really caused that, but I find it interesting that when I was told that story a few times, I ended up with some scratch marks on my arm.
Oh, yeah. My story was actually a dream that I had. It was a tiger that attacked me. I actually had not too bad of weight problems. I was kind of still big in the tummy, and I didn't understand what scratch marks were. They are super scratch marks. And so I had this dream that I was mauled by this tiger and it scratched me on the side, and I woke up because I could feel that, but it actually just turned out to be stretch marks when I got older and understood. But I still have this solid fear for tigers, and I don't know if it's because that dream just traumatized me. I mean, to think you're actually attacked by a tiger could be very traumatizing, or there's just a mortal fear that I've always had of just tigers itself, because it's a, you know, it's a magnificent beast, but I'm not going to go, you know, near them, even if there's thick glass or a cage in front of me. I stray. And the one time I thought I could be brave about it, I just literally, like, without even thinking, I walked across the street in Vegas and went the long way around. You know, I couldn't bring myself to be near them. And the liquid courage helped a little bit later on that night. But the tigers were mainly sleeping, so I think that helped, and it was quick, like, look, okay, I'm here, bye. So if anyone's been to Vegas, they understand the tiger exhibit and how many drinks you get when you're actually playing games.
Yeah, a lot of things in our dreams are affected by our everyday experience, you know, or, you know, maybe a slight thought on your head. You know, it could just turn into something, you know, some kind of adventure, or, you know, you see that person, you know, maybe you're thinking about someone, and all of a sudden you have them in your dream. You know, a lot of that stuff carries on with us like that. Our thoughts affect reality. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, that's the reason why, you know, how we could actually, mark someone as being negative when they're not willing to live the lie. You know, that which is the second part of tonight. And, you know, it's one of those where, you know, I'm not willing to do anything, not necessarily to damage my reputation, but, you know, integrity-wise, for me, it's really hard to even, you know, to even think of pulling a fast one, you know, when, you know, Rob's like, hey, can you make me a light paranormal thing and make it look like ghosts are there? It's really hard for me to make something like that because I want to put a disclaimer, this is fake. You know, this is not real in there somewhere, just so people know that, you know, I'm not necessarily faking this for the over-dramatization or sensationalization. I'm just actually doing it to promote the site. So, you know, yes, I could break out my fishing gear and use my fishing line, but, you know, for me, it's really hard to get to that. You know, to actually say, yeah, I met here, you know, with psychics and, you know, stuff like that. Or, you know, call a psychic credible when I, you know that they actually misread me totally. I've had many, and I've actually even put failed in the chat room saying that they failed ultimately on my psychic reading, you know, and fortunately most of them not able to read it, but I've had some that were dead on the spot, and it's really hard to Google, you know, anything about me. The only thing you're going to find is a lot of paranormal stuff about me. So, you know, they were talking about stuff that me, my family, and really close friends would only know. Like, one of them was talking about a knee injury that I sustained when I played football. Not a lot of people knew about that at all. I never actually disclaimed that at all. I got this knee injury, it's something that, you know, they just, just mentioned, hey, you know, your knee, it's bothering you kind of still, isn't it? And, every once in a while it does bother me, and I think it's mainly the change of weather,
of
the right knee, So I was just like, yep, they're good, for me it's really hard to even think about trying to live with that lie.
Yeah, I totally feel the same way. I've been actually asked for a film project. They wanted, because I'm in a paranormal, they, automatically think that, obviously I want the fantastical things to be involved, the dramatization of that. There was a project where they, wanted to do a scene where they recreated the event that people were talking about. And I totally was against it. I told actually the director, I'm fine with maybe giving some pointers, some help, but I don't really want to be involved with something, like that. And he understood. So, he kind of, just let me give some insight on some things and so on. Especially with our logo design, stuff like that, I wanted to be something, something that obviously connects with the paranormal, with the subject that we're talking about. But when I myself look at sites that have ghosts and skeletons on their website with the paranormal group or a haunted house or, stuff like that, I think that's kind of hokey. I think it's just not good. It's to promote these types of things, and I think that's obviously what keeps, people interested, no doubt. People rather hear the ghost story over what exactly may be what's really going on. And it's, I don't want to be part of it. I don't want to perpetuate something like that, especially if that's something that I feel, I'm trying to go against, or I should say negate in a way with the research that we have collected. It happens all the time, they want that fantastical thing. I think it's only because people are more interested in that. They're more interested in these things, and that's the only way they're going to keep their interest involved if you are talking about your ghost story. And I have tons of ghost stories, but when it comes down to it, what exactly is going on? What exactly are we dealing with? And it's just people are too comfort. Creature comforts have overtaken us for too long. And if you even think about historically, we were kind of ignorant. Only the rich and the elite had really knowledge in what was going on. And look what the majority of them were involved with, science. And, of course, some were atheists in many ways. Even the founding fathers, some weren't exactly Christian as they say. Many of them may have had those beliefs, but they weren't fully, promoting that. What was it, Ben Franklin, if I'm correct? Didn't he make his own Bible? Yeah, I think it's Ben Franklin, yeah. He made his own Bible, the Franklin Bible, which he took out all the fantastical stuff and what the Bible was being promoted and just focused on the moral aspects of it, And people, obviously weren't too keen to it, but he had a small following over it. But, these are things that really perpetuate this. You have to educate yourself and what's going on here. And that's really what it comes down to. Read your books. Do your research. Learn physical science. Learn psychology, which is a huge part in this. Psychology. Everyone out there, study it. Look at neuroscience. It actually will explain a lot of these experiences, and not saying that any of it is fake in that matter, but for me, when I look at these things, if these things are actually happening, there's something going on in our brain at the same time, and we need to understand that there's probably chemicals being introduced in our brain when these things are happening, and all sorts of other physical expectations. A lot of people don't know, but you're technically getting high every time you dream. DMT, which is actually pushed into your body when you're about to go into that particular particular state of mind, actually helps you or induces the quote-unquote hallucinations you have while you sleep, while you daydream, actually. DMT is being released in your body while you're daydreaming, which is really just looking off into a distance and kind of getting lost in a train of thought. These are things that are actually really happening to you.
Yeah, to add on to that, when you actually start to you know, flawlessly. I know I've done this before where you, you know, bring a dream out from your sleep. It's pretty much your brain still on, shut down, and it's slowly booting up. So it's like having an old computer system and with a slow boot. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean something's happening. It actually just means, you know, if your dream happens to push out and all of a sudden it clears up and, you know, that's your brain finally booted up and ready to go. There's a sleep paralysis. You know, people who have the night tremors actually suffer the same thing. It's when their the brain wakes up before the body, so the brain manifests a scenario of why, you know, they can't move, why can't I get up, and it usually turns into a paranormal type scenario. And, you know, like Satan himself kneeling on your chest saying, I want your soul or something, you know, and then all of a sudden they can move. And, you know, it's one of those, if anyone ever has it, you know, don't panic. You know, I've had it, and I know that when I panic, all of a sudden Satan's sitting on my chest telling me that he wants my soul. But the times where I woke up and said, oh, it's another one of these, and just, you know, just let my body slowly wake up, you know, that's the ones that don't turn into anything paranormal. It's just like, okay, I can move now.
Exactly.
And I think that is because that fear kicks in. And when that fear kicks in, that, you know, chemical reaction in the brain kicks over, you know, jump starts, and all of a sudden, as you said, DMT is probably now introduced, causing hallucinations. And who knows, it could actually start into a psychosis where you're hearing and feeling, you know, seeing and feeling things. And if you do have sleep paralysis, find your trigger. Mine is sleep exhaustion. And what I mean by sleep exhaustion, that's actually when I go more than, I believe it was 27 hours of not having more than, sleep more than 27 hours. It's actually what I thought of that. That's pretty much being up for a long time, you know?
Yeah.
That's when I found out when I was younger and then actually went and, stayed awake and then fall asleep. See when it actually triggered, and it was at 27 hours of sleep exhaustion. And, you know, and 27 hours is a long time to not sleep.
A lot of people have, I'm sorry to cut you off, but a lot of people have these particular sleep disorders. My girlfriend actually has had sleep apnea and or had it. You know, obviously it's something that happens every now and then to people. But she actually experienced seeing a creature, and she was in a total different experience when she had the paralysis actually happen to her. Oh, hey, Carla, and it seems like a lot of people are growing into this. Even sleep analysis centers are popping up more and more. I don't know if anyone's really noticed that. I mean, it could be, you know, per cities and whatnot, but I start seeing more buildings that have sleep analysis. We have, I think, one or two in my county. And it seems to be more and more people are having this. Even myself, I've come in and or going into or coming out of a sleep have experienced paranormal experiences. A lot of people that I've talked to over the years or at least done investigations, a lot of their experiences revolve around stress. They're stress-induced. Now, the thing that's with me is, you know, the possibility that these particular stresses on the body may, and I, you know, you're gonna hear this from me just to be hypothetical as well as more or less this is a possibility of why these are happening, maybe this type of stuff thins the line of our perception, and maybe that's how, in some cases, these things are exactly real. I'm not gonna, you know, not gonna discount that there are hauntings or spiritual experiences that are connected to some kind of past or not necessarily your past, but the past of an environment of some sort. But maybe some of these things are what helps us induce these particular experiences where we can go and exactly have a spiritual experiences. But nonetheless, I found that throughout this time investigating houses and I get countless emails on a yearly basis of people telling me, you know, they're having experiences. And when I finally start talking to them, it's usually evolved around the nighttime, coming in and out of sleep or becoming under stressful conditions. Hands down, that's the majority of my cases. And I can easily help them through it by telling them, you know, obviously you take it easy on the stress, you know, get some sleep, change your way of thinking. You know, I almost become like a counselor in a sense. And I'm not certified to be a counselor, but You know, I often find even that's what most paranormal groups turn into, more of a counseling effect over these experiences. Now, if they may, you know, offer some kind of help in the idea that these are actual ghosts and whatnot, and they help them because that's, you know, how they believe it. But nonetheless, it seems like it's more of a counseling effect on some of these people. And that's where I, at least I come to my conclusion to question some of these experiences, or at least look into them more and see where these connectivities or the connectivity of all this is. And it usually revolves around our state of mind. There is hands down what I figured is it revolves around our state of mind.
Yeah, and I would have to say check your local laws on counseling, because here in Florida, if you actually offer counseling without being certified by the NPCC, you could be fined and jailed for illegally counseling and being uncertified. So,
you know, that really crosses the... it does cross what we're doing here most of the time. I mean, think of what most of the people are looking for. They're looking for someone to help them, you know, obviously in this condition. And more or less, what do we usually sit down? We sit down in a chair and actually take notes of what they're doing. I mean, technically, you know, we are uncertified counselors in that sense. You know, it really is that. And we are kind of doing something illegal. Even when I started off, one of the most illegal things that we did was go ghost hunting, go out and not get permission and go into abandoned houses, abandoned buildings, and of course, graveyards and so on. And technically, we're breaking the law in a sense. We just haven't realized it because we want the thrill or in our case, you know, interested in finding out what's going on. So this is a very, very touchy subject and a reason why we should take what we are experiencing and what are we investigating very seriously, because we are dealing with people's emotions. People's emotions and, of course, their state of mind.
Yeah, and there was a point where, tagging along with another team that they actually committed these, you know, crimes pretty much, and I said, whoa, you know, who asked for permission? Actually, I called, you know, and I said, you know, I introduced myself, and I said, yeah, you can come on the property, you know, at least I know you guys aren't knocking headstones over. All I want to know is if, you know, if that anyone who's committed a crime that you're calling the cops on them, you know, and it's like, yeah, of course we'd call the cops on them if we saw someone kicking over a headstone. You know, and that's all, you know, because they were being, you know, vandalized. So the, you know, the actual cemetery keep, you know, had to, you know, be there constantly. And it just got to the point where, you know, by first name, hey, Glenn, hey, how's it going? You guys, you know, out here paranormal. Oh, that's awesome. Can I tag along for a little bit? And then after a while, he'll get bored and go back into the little, you know, office and watch his TV, you know. And, you know, it's just one of those. I mean, even if nothing, you know, even if you get denied, you know, never burn a bridge. You know, we'll find them. No, just say, okay, well, if anything ever happens, drop your card. You know, because something's going to happen, they're going to be like, hey, can you come back out here? Because now you're building a rapport, you know. You could also tell them that you will, you know, not necessarily offer security, but at least someone will be there at night, you know, when it's quiet. And if something happens, you report it. Because then, you know, I don't have to have security. That'll be awesome. You know, of course, make sure you always carry their number just in case, you know, law enforcement gets involved and they want to know that you truly do have permission. There was a case where these kids went out and did a paranormal, you know, investigation at a place that they didn't get permission. They decided to jump off a cliff, you know. Luckily, it wasn't a very big cliff. They thought they were just jumping into a ditch. And so they didn't fall, they recovered, but still, you know, what did they say automatically? Well, I watched on TV.
Yep. Like my favorite thing, we did an investigation, I think it was last year, and, you know, the girl, she claims that, you know, she's psychic and so on, and it's a possibility, you know, what she's experiencing is valid, but a lot of stuff that she was, I guess, investigating herself is what she learned from TAPS, from the ghost hunters and from what, you know, obviously other shows that she watched on TV. And I actually got a lot of this documented. They did the flashlight experiment, and I didn't know. I stopped watching. Oh, my dog is howling over here. He scared me a little bit. I stopped watching Ghost Hunters and all these TV episodes. Of course, you know, I was interested in it before, but I started looking at the experiments that they were doing and how they were concluding the things. And I didn't even know about this flashlight experiment until she says, oh, I saw it from Ghost Hunters. You have to unscrew the bottom of the flashlight just a little bit so it has room to move. And I'm thinking, this is really what they're teaching, you know, on TV, was this. Sure enough, I watched an episode of Ghost Hunters, believe it or not, within, within a month's period of time. You know, just nothing to do, and I turned it on. I do watch it every now and then for entertainment purposes. But they clearly explained the Ghost Hunters actually unscrewed the bottom of the flashlight for this experiment so that the ghost has, or the spirit or whatever, has the ability to turn it off and on. And just thinking about that, it's already, the experiment's already flawed. Because if you understand the connection between electricity, you have to make it. It has to connect for it to power, and it has to, you know, obviously disconnect from the metal to unpower. And you're giving it that much room to move back and forth to do that. And any vibration, any sort of anything could trigger the movement of that battery in order for it to turn off and on. Even vibration of your voice, believe it or not. I tell, you know, go ahead and put a piece of string, a couple pieces of string, a couple pieces of paper on, you know, a 10-inch by 10-inch piece of wood or an area where you can do this in, and seriously just kind of talk, you know, just talk to it, and you will see that the vibration of your voice will affect, you know, the surrounding area of those papers. You know, obviously your breath is going to add to that as well, but you know, people talking to these things, people moving around, the slightest movement can trigger this. And I was totally blown away that this is what they saw on TV. And that itself, it was a reason enough for me to, you know, beyond all the things I've already seen on TV, that was a reason enough for me, like, my God, we have to do something about this. Because this is what people believe and this is what they're sharing. You know, this is flawed science. This is flawed research already being taught to us.
I would have to say don't be fooled because, as you notice, these so-called investigators always seem to be hiding something. Unfortunately, they have a remote-controlled one where they could actually hit a button and it sends an infrared beam to it to turn on and off. So be careful what you watch because...
Exactly.
You know, I've been told it's, you know, infrared-controlled, so they press a button, the light turns on, they press a button, it goes off. That's why you always see that at a peculiar angle, and it's never behind it because they don't want to show that because if it bounces off walls, they're actually using an angle trick to make it go on and off, and that's where you're going to see that it doesn't have a push button in the back, but they all seem to push something like they're pressing the button. It's actually a little switch on it.
Think about this one, which happens in almost all episodes. Or whenever you use an EMF reader, I try to, specifically an EMF reader, I should clarify that. Oh, the electricity's off in the building, and we're going to use an EMF reader to go ahead and try to find anomalous EMF signals. And this is true, you know, there are some, you know, signals that you will pick up, but if people don't understand, your camera, all your equipment, you yourself is giving off an EMF field. And to be honest with you, the Earth is giving off an EMF field. So any of these types of fields can go ahead and ruin your investigation, your experiment on that alone. So whenever you hear, oh, we have the building off, that's just the building you're turning off, the power in the building. That's just that. And now you have a whole area of that can let those EMFs in and do whatever it wants to change your readings and whatnot. So, you know, just look at the verbiage. Just look at things are played out. And of course, back it up with science and your understanding. And you will see how this is stuff that you need to question. You need to experiment, obviously. But you also, when experimenting with these things, need to question and understand what could be the causes of this naturally. You know, this is by far the biggest problem with any of this is the fact that we're not experimenting enough. And we're not understanding enough of our natural being, our understanding of what's going on around us.
Yeah, adding to that, too, you know, what he was talking about, is there's radiation and everything. So your walls, everything, it's low level radiation, so it doesn't actually harm you physically. You know, it's low enough that it's not going to harm you. But, you know, that's where you get a lot of your spikes, too, for the electromagnetic frequency. The actual radiation levels, too, will pick up.
Mm-hmm.
I actually work with a team, a brilliant team, that actually, you know, doesn't really buy into the ghost hunters kind of, you know, equipment. You know, they actually use equipment that's non-based in that, and it's, you know, a lot of it is actual electrician's equipment, you know, Geiger counter, which I actually want to get,
mm-hmm.
because you can actually rate the level of radiation and know when you're doing an EMF sweep if that actually is the radiation on a fire mantle. A fire mantle carries a lot of radiation because of the bricks that are used. Let's see what else. Some drywall, wood carries a low level of radiation. Pretty much radiation is constantly around us. It's not enough to, you know, kill us or affect us. I mean, some of us, yes, you know, like EMR and the effects that people have. You know, some people have the effects, some people don't. And all it depends on the pathology of the person, the actual, you know, their body itself, if it's going to affect them or not. And, you know, when I bought my equipment, I bought into that. You have to have this K2, you have to have this EMF. I dumped my EMF, and actually I use an electrician's EMF because I get a real reading. When I compared the two, the reading I was getting on the EMF meter, the ghost EMF meter, wasn't in comparison to the actual electrician's EMR meter, the actual magnetic frequency. I found that the EMF reader was actually registering more than what was in the atmosphere at the time. And, you know, it's like, you put one down, you turn it on, you look at it, it's okay. You remove it, put the other one down, and you're like, that one's way higher than this one. So, it, you know, the K2, there was Liberty, or Unseen in the chat room, that told me that he uses the K2 for outside frequencies. That's what my K2 is used for now. The only thing I use it for is to see if there's any man-made frequencies affecting the field. Meaning, oops, I got my cell phone, sorry. You know, because it actually thinks. I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh, I was saying it's okay. I heard the cell phone issue there.
Yeah. I was called amnesia because I saw a photograph. It's one of those, sensationalized person who wants the fame, the glory. And there's a picture where you could tell it looked like someone was looking at their cell phone, and it was captured on video. Oopsie,
mm-hmm.
motion blurred. You know, the frame rate wasn't able to keep up with the person, probably walking by really fast with the cell phone in hand going, oops, I'm getting a call. And I just called it amnesia. Investigator amnesia, you know, like the smoking amnesia, because you could never actually remember where you were in an actual research site the entire time. I mean, I was sitting over here. Well, maybe it was a little bit over here more. You'll never know that for sure, you know, especially because it's dark, so sometimes you get turned around. Wait, maybe I was over on that side, you know, Investigator amnesia is actually a real thing. I'm finding out where people are like, you know what, that was me, you know? But, you know, that's going on to the third topic. That's why I think telling the truth is so important. I don't remember. That's all a person needs to say. Well, I don't think that was me. You know, I don't remember. That means, okay, well, if we're actually basing it on that rationale, at this point I'm going to have to throw it out. You know, and I constantly throw stuff out because I hear in the background people, you know, researchers talking, which is, you know, as soon as you get started, people should just, boom, quiet, you know?
Yeah.
In the background.
You mentioned earlier, or, you know, just like about a minute or so ago, you know, about the EMFs affecting people and how sensitive they are. I actually noticed, and this is not constant, but I have noticed this, that people who consider some sensitive actually are sensitive around EMF field. And this has actually been going on for, you know, this particular research in EMFs have been going on for me personally for a while when I actually started watching the TV shows that got me involved with this. Sightings was one of them. And there was an episode where they were having investigating some poltergeist experience at a house, and people were seeing stuff fly open. They were seeing shadows, and of course, you know, other apparitions and weird dreams. And they brought the team in, sightings, whoever sightings had brought in. I don't know if it was their group or if it was someone outside that they ended up contacting, but they did an EMF sweep, and sure enough, they were like, "Hey, you got high EMFs." Well, they were by power lines, these huge Ironmen, if people know what they are. They're just the huge power lines that go along for a long distance of area. And they concluded that the power lines, well, I think they at least concluded that the power lines were helping in these effects, not necessarily that was the cause of it, but I started doing more research into it, and I started noticing that there is actually heavy research. And you can go out on the internet and Google EMF frequencies and their effects on people. You can actually download. I have a couple PDFs that I downloaded from actual research from universities that are showing that people are hallucinating, getting sick, headaches, and just overall not feeling comfortable in the areas with high or certain frequency EMF experiences. And sure enough, when you start digging further, there is a doctor named Dr. Michael Persinger that's been doing research on EMF effects and on the brain. And he started getting, the results with certain people that certain frequencies of EMF field were affecting or inducing these particular experiences. Now, taking that information and going off into my own investigations, I even had one more of my recent. If people go on my site, I don't have anything written on it, but it was one of the cases that we've done. We found out in the spots that they've experienced paranormal or where they experienced paranormal experiences, there were actually high EMF fields in those areas. And we followed them, and they were honed down to one particular area wherever they experienced this. And I'm like, well, here's another, conclusion to this EMF experience is that EMFs are either inducing the paranormal experience by having us hallucinate, or in the hypothetical situation, maybe these EMF fields are possibly thinning the line of how we perceive, this reality as well as the spiritual reality, whatever that may be. We may even come down to to a certain area where Professor Xavier from the X-Men, him using his Cerebro helmet, may actually be real. That there may actually be able to put this helmet on and enhance your psychic abilities. You know, of course, we have to find out what exactly a psychic is in the first place. But there's a huge amount of information out there that's easily available and readily to grab that are on EMFs and that are showing that most of the environment that we have is inducing these particular experiences.
Yeah, I actually had it wasn't the case. It was someone, enthusiast here at Live Paranormal who was complaining about in one place of their home they were experiencing headaches. And I just said, I said basically like this, make sure that the wiring in your house is grounded properly in that spot. And they actually had an electrician come in, do a sweep, saw that there was a high EMF level. He went in and made sure that the wiring was grounded properly. So he actually corrected the problem, and then after that, they didn't have a problem. Unfortunately, they did move out like a couple of months after, but still, he wasn't being affected having those headaches in that one spot of the home. And I had a really good sight, but I guess a lot of people were probably plagiarizing and just downloading for free. And it was someone who wrote a book about the effects of EMF on people, and so. Now you actually have to buy the book, and I believe it's a $35 book, which is not bad, but people should read into that. It's definitely, I'll try to find the link and post it. I think it's emfsafehome.com, or it might be even a .org. But I used to go on there just to look up, read about EMF, and it was free at one point. We actually just scroll through and click through the chapters, and then, of course, as I was getting towards the end, all of a sudden they took it off. And I was like, yeah,
wow.
I could see people pasting it and plagiarizing it. So they said, you know what, we got to protect our, you know, the work that we did, you know, because they were selling the book too, and they had the entire book online. But I guess people were probably just taking it from online instead of buying the book.
Exactly. You know, I actually like to buy some of these things myself, you know, instead of just downloading, or sometimes you can't even download this information. You actually have to go out and find a book on it or something. So, I mean, people out there, get out there, buy books. I mean, it's going to be your biggest help in research is reading up on these types of things.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd like to actually move to the last part of the segment, which is the argument section. And you saw the argument I had with someone who happened to be in the fantasy type, paranormal, and I'm intuitive, and you saw the post.
Yep.
But I always see this constant argument, and it doesn't stem on any evidence whatsoever other than you're a non-believer, you're not spiritual, or you're a skeptic. Now, this is going towards the people who actually believe in the phenomenon that does not exist, and us as well, don't accept it as an actual argument. You know, that is not an argument. That is a, you know, I call it a layman's way out. Yeah.
Yep.
Someone who's not able to provide the conclusive evidence that something's going on, so you're a skeptic, you know, automatically. And I always get called skeptic. That's because I'm not willing to accept, you know, what I've conducted research on. And this person was truly intuitive as before even adding me to their friends list. They actually would have said, you know what, I'm not going to add this person. You know, it's another fail. But, you know, for the people on the other side, I want you to actually bring conclusive evidence. I want you to bring me something other than you're not this. And that means to everyone in the field, the 1%, bring it over to us. I mean, I'm actually conducting research, and it doesn't really back them trying to create electric smoke. I'm hitting the snafu. I actually did the screw thing, and the snafu is this. It does spark, it does smoke, but it's too high of energy now because I was using the fuses to regulate the energy, so now I have to figure a different way. So I do get a little bit of the fizzle smoke. And, you know, it blew out the chip that I was using. Now I have to figure out how to regulate the energy.
And that's great, actually. I remember when you brought that up on our show. That's great.
That
experimentation is great. That's what we should be doing. That's actual real research, is experimentation. I work in a trade, and, I'm not the greatest serviceman, but, you know, in order to figure things out, you have to troubleshoot. You have to recreate what are the claims. If something is malfunctioning, you have to understand what's causing that malfunction. And if we are to go into someone's house or even investigate any sort of claim like that, we have to be able to find an exact smoking gun to why these experiences are happening. And to be honest with you, we necessarily haven't found that smoking gun yet. We have a lot of theories, but we haven't found the smoking gun. And I think that's the reason why, especially in your, your number three right there, that kind of groups this all together, especially with your willing to accept the lie, is that this information needs to be perpetuated, or we're still perpetuating the ignorance of doing paranormal research or considering ourselves research. You have to know the truth. We can't perpetuate these things and keep telling people, you know, this is what this is, if we don't even know ourselves. It's just hands down, you know. If you're not willing to look into these things, then you're willing to lie to yourself. And the only reason why I even come up to my conclusions with the paranormal is because I actually willingly went in there and you know, did the ghost hunting, did the residential experiences, and started seeing things that weren't being related as to what I saw on TV and as to what the books are. And, of course, you know, there was also a spiritual aspect of me. I was very religious at one point. And because of doing the paranormal research, I started to question my own belief system because these things weren't fitting into how we were explaining them to us. I think that the other biggest issue with the paranormal is our verbiage, how we put definitions to certain things. And even with that, it doesn't make sense. You know, people are like, well, this is an EVP. We're doing electronic voice phenomenon. Well, when you're saying you're going to do an EVP and you take what exactly an EVP says, that means you're trying to create the electronic voice phenomenon, that you're willing to say that you are the one who's doing the electronic voice phenomenon. So we really do have to take a look into what we're doing here and what we're seeing overall, because this is what we're dealing with, is the non-scientific aspect of the paranormal.
Yeah, that's what I would say. That's going to be my conclusive evidence. So I'm able to regulate. I have my control, meaning a snap into what I'm trying to do. My control is trying to convert the voltage to milligauss, and from milligauss to see if I could create at least 3 to 7 milligauss, the actual paranormal, or the, I call it the exhaust of paranormal, the static discharge. We're actually at the conclusion of our show, so if you could let everyone know how they could contact you, Justin, and also join you for your own actual, broadcast.
Internet radio.
Too.
Yes, thank you. Once again, I'm Justin Villarreal, founder of the LCGH Research Group. You can find us at lcghresearchgroup.org, and you can also find us on our show, which we'll be getting back into, is blogtalkradio.com/LCGH, and we have at least like 30-something episodes that people can go and check out, and of course, if you guys have any questions or anything like that, you can send them to lakecountyghosthunters@yahoo.com, and that's where you can reach us at.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for joining me on such short notice. I've been meaning to actually pick your brain and hopefully be able to meet you very soon sometime here.
I've been meaning to get out myself.
My manager, a university that she attended here in Florida, is a university that I really want to get into. And since her sorority sister is the dean at the dean at the university, she could get us into it. And, you know, right now we are only a 2-man team right now. The other person decided that, you know, they weren't into it anymore. And it's probably because of that long thing, but, you know, they really lost, you know, and I think it's the TV shows that mainly did to them, where there's like, you know what, I'm hanging up my gloves kind of, you know, thing. But yes, join Justin. I know I do. When I see him post on Facebook, I click on it and join him for his live show. And again, thank you for joining me tonight, Justin. I really enjoy our chats, and hopefully we can do our 4 o'clock in the morning chats again sometime soon.
Yes, that would be fun. I those were some good times, actually. Very good times. Thank you again, Abel.
All right, thank you. All right, everyone. Thank
night,
you
everyone.
For joining us. Thank you for joining us tonight for Boundaries of Reality. Tonight we covered a couple of controversial subjects. You know, again, continue to think, you know, build on your theories and, you know, pretty much not, you know, step out of the box kind of thing, think out of the box, think beyond the box. That's what I like to tell people. You know, if you think, you know, you found something that might work in the paranormal, try it. Give it a whirl because, you know, it might work. I believe I might have another guest coming up here soon. I don't think it's going to be next week. I think it might be the week after. I believe it's the 26th. I'm going to be taking off here Thanksgiving weekend, so I might not be on here Thanksgiving weekend. So, you know, make sure you tune in. I will actually have a pre-recorded show or maybe a rebroadcast of something. So, again, thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight for Boundaries of Reality.
Boundaries of Reality with their host, Abel Garcia.
to Live Paranormal Radio at liveparanormal.com.